And so I'm just thankful for the leadership and all the folks here who have put this on for so many years and for this opportunity to stand before you this evening, this afternoon. As we go through this, what do we have, an hour? Less than an hour, 45 minutes? 45 minutes, whatever it is. As we go through this this evening, this afternoon, I'm not going to be a talking head. I might try to see if you pull some things from you. I learn from you, you learn from me. I think that's a great way to go. But so I'll be talking about Jesus, witness Jesus as a servant. And we're going to go to chapter 13 of John. And I think this really lays, Jesus naturally, as we set this up, this is his last supper, so to speak. And folks are going to, and naturally he's going to be able to sit with his disciples and actually talk to them about what's going to transpire. But in verse number 5 and following, he does something that really, if you look at how it's set up and what happens before and what happens after, it doesn't seem to fit. If you're looking at it, it just doesn't seem to fit. But then after you read and you begin to really let it marinate, it begins, then and only then, I believe, it begins to make sense to you. And so in chapter 13 and verse number 5, here the Bible says, then he poured water into the basins, began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. And so he came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said, What I do, you do not realize now, but you shall understand thereafter. Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. And Jesus answered, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you're clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. And so he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table. And he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is one who is sent greater than the one sent him. Now, when we look at Jesus as a servant, and when we talk about a servant is a, I know it's kind of foreign in the church, but a servant is a worker. A servant is a worker, and he's not just any worker, he's an obedient worker. That's what he is. And I believe sometimes that too often we take this life-changing grace that we have been given. And sometimes I think we take it rather lightly. And too often we allow ourselves to rest in the comfort of grace of God that provides us salvation. And we think that, yes, I have received this, and truly I don't deserve it. I can't merit it. I can't do anything to deserve it. But I have it now, and so therefore, I can sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. But this grace needs to touch others. The grace that I have been given, the grace that you have been given, needs to touch somebody else. And so serving God is more than just, you know, an emotional experience, a great worship service, Bible study, prayer every day, keeping ourselves unspotted from the world and the culture around us, those are all good things, but that's not service. A lot of folks think, you know, well, I came to church on Sunday morning. I've served. And I might come on Sunday night. And Wednesday night, boy, that's a bonus. We believe that sometimes that is service. But that's what you ought to do. Now, a lot of folks have, really, the question has always come up, do I have to come to Sunday night service? Do I have to come to Wednesday night service? It's not a have to. I believe we've been approaching that wrong. For years, we've abused the verse in Hebrews chapter 10. Forsake what? As a matter of some. But we miss all that was written before that, right? We miss it. It's not about have to, is want to. I want to serve God. I want to serve in the kingdom. It's a want to. It's not a have to. Nothing's about a have to. Do I want to do this? God is calling the church to another level of walking with him. Not just a rudimentary level where we're just coming. It's about, I'm going to decide that I'm going to serve him. Jesus had to show some folks how to serve. He had to show them. And so he decides that after they've eaten, he decides to wash feet. Now, normally, this was done ahead of time. Normally, this was not done by the master of the house. Jesus, the Creator, Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the sustainer of everything, God walking among us, decides to wash feet. I don't know about you, but I've seen some pretty nasty feet. I've spent some time around the fellas in my 20 plus years in the military. I spent some time around some fellas. And one of the things that, especially if we were out for a long period of time, there's a thing called field sanitation, and I remember being out in the Philippines, and we were there for about, I don't know, 2 weeks out in the valley, out in the jungle. So one of the things you need to do naturally is the big thing is, especially in that climate, is taking care of your feet. Clean socks, washing your feet, washing your body. Our shower was literally in a wooden, it almost looked like an outhouse. And it was a couple of pipes running out of a side of a wall with spring water. That was a shower. Now, sometimes the water came out pretty good, and sometimes it was a stream. So you kind of, that's what you did. But the big thing is you need to clean your feet. Feet, I mean, it was important. We all know it. If something's wrong with your feet, you don't want to do anything. Walking, matter of fact, I don't even want you to talk to me. I mean, my feet, what's wrong with my feet? It's debilitating. But Jesus decides that he's going to wash some sweaty, smelly feet. And I can almost, and to think about it, He had the 12 there. No one had thought to do this, but he decides to do it. And I don't know if you've seen this commercial before. There's a commercial where there's a group of young ladies in the bathroom, and the water's running. And everybody walks in and says, "Water's running. Who left that water on?" Wow, they're wasting water. And one young lady comes in and turns off the water and walks out. Everybody else was talking about it. They saw what needed to be done, but only one came in and did what needed to be done. That's service. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for someone to see something that needs to be done and getting it done. Jesus knew what it needed to be done in our lives. We needed a Savior. And so he decides, before time was, that he was going to come down and redeem his creation to himself. And so we have the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Prince of Peace, the living water, the Redeemer, the Alpha and Omega, the light of the world. He gets on his knees and washes feet. What is that akin to in our environments? I imagine maybe the president deciding to wash Congress feet. I don't know. Probably not in this environment, but anyway. but the point is that's the degree, because you have to understand something. Jesus is washing everyone's feet, and we just read that he knew the one that was going to betray him. He knew it. He knew Judas was in the room. He knew what he was going to do, and yet he washes everyone's feet. Now, sometimes we pick and choose who we want to serve. Jesus tells us, the displays here, that he says, not only serve the one that you like or love, I want you to serve everybody. Well, Jesus, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, yeah, it does make some sense. How does it make sense? Well, it makes sense because when you look at yourself and how he has served you and I, it makes a lot of sense. The Bible says we were enemies to the cross. And that a lot of folks, when they look at that, they say, well, I was never enemy to God. Yeah, you were. Yeah, we were. Sin is so despicable. Sin is so disgusting to our God that anyone that enters into that particular transgression is an enemy to him because of who he is. Enemy. Bible says we were enemies. You know, often you think about an enemy, a person that, you know, that they're on one side, I'm on the other side, we're shooting back and forth, we are at odds, we don't like one another, I'm trying to protect mine, you're trying to take what I have. That type of conflict, that level of conflict. Well, it runs deeper with sin with God. And so he decides, before time was, I'm going to save man. And so Jesus comes in as man, as his own creation, and stoops and does something that's reserved for the lowest of the low in society. Jesus said, I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to wash your feet. I'll serve, and I'm going to serve you right now. We all have a call for service in our lives. Now, a lot of times we kind of say, well, service, but when we talk about church service, we talk about the preacher, elders, deacon. Those guys serve. That's your job. It's your job to go see every sick person. It's your job to attend every funeral. It's your job to go see the down and out. It's your job to feed the hungry. It's your job to conduct every cottage class there is. That's your job, because we pay you. But we're talking about service. And so when we look at this, when we look at service, it's not about broadcasting. It's not about, I need to post it on Facebook, because we post everything on Facebook now, I tell you. You know, it's just the way it is. We post everything. I guess people do it. I, I could barely navigate Facebook. But anyway, I get it. I understand it. My son and daughter-in-law, they like to put everything on Facebook. Only thing I want to see is the kids. You know, need to stay off. But the point is, everything's on Facebook. Don't need to see it. Instagram. Because when we're serving with the right heart, it's not about me. When I'm serving with the right heart, it's not about the size of the gift. When I'm serving with the right heart, it's not about my recognition. It's all about the glory of God. That's what Jesus is doing here. He says, you know, I did this for an example for you. We live in a society that does, we want to be served. I was talking to some folks and we were discussing some things and how big the congregation is in Mount Home, and we were talking about it, and I tell them, I said, we get young couples in sometimes, and they have little kids, and they come in, and they'll ask us, you know, you don't have anything for the kids, and I say, well, you know, we don't, your kids are the first ones we have, so, you know, but we could try to come up with something, and that's about the last time we'll see them. Now, if we don't have something, that's an opportunity to what? To serve. But they say, well, you know, we don't see them anymore. We'd rather go somewhere else, even to a denomination, if they have it. That's where I'll go. And I just shake my head. Because I personally, when I went somewhere and they weren't doing something, I saw it as an opportunity to serve. Something wasn't being done. I can do that. A lot of times we like to kind of, depending on what it is, everybody wants to do one thing. I don't know what it is. It's different for every congregation, but, if it's, having a fellowship meal, everybody wants to work in a kitchen, you know, or everybody wants to, you're having a birthday meal for somebody. Everybody wants to decorate. Everybody wants to jump on one thing except finding that one thing that nobody else is doing. We need to understand that if the church is going to actually grow like Jesus and God wants it to grow, we're going to have to serve. Go to Romans chapter 12. I like this. It really goes along. In verse number 3, we know verses 1 and 2, but I want to go to verse number 3. He says, for through the grace given to me, Romans chapter 12, verse 3, he said, for the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, you do not think more, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And then he goes on and talks about different areas, gifts of faith, but not to think more highly of himself. I could be wrong. I really could. I could be wrong, but I doubt it about this. I think sometimes we think too highly of ourselves. We may not admit it. But we may think too highly of ourselves sometimes to do certain things. And I remember hearing about folks, old saints. Remember hearing about a brother after he had died, how many people he was feeding on his Social Security income. Hearing about sisters taking a bus to go take care of some other sister who couldn't take care of herself. Nobody ever heard about it. Or about a sister as they were raising money for a college, for school, that she would just save up her pennies for a year and give that. See, that's service to me. You know, well, Brother Vince, you teach class, you can preach. Yeah, that's great, but that's service to me. That's the epitome of, because it's not something that anyone else sees. And I'm not saying that other things aren't served, but I'm talking about the epitome of service, not looking for anyone to say anything or tell you to do it. I'm just going to do it because I know it needs to be done. And as I said before, that's what Jesus did for us. We needed a Savior. We needed a Redeemer. And so he said, I can't send anybody else. Abraham, Noah was a good man, but he had some problems. Abraham was a good man, but he had some problems. He wavered a little bit. Moses, God had to just about kick him to Egypt. Had some problems. You look at Job, and Job, God bragged on Job. Have you considered my servant? There is none like him. God bragged on him. The Bible says that Job offered a sacrifice for his children just in case they sinned. Talking about a righteous man. And then life happens to Job. And as life happens to Job, Job says, I want an audience with God. I want to plead my case. And then after his friends come along and God lets him moan and gripe for a while, he says, gird up, son. Let me ask you some questions. Where were you? And after God finishes with him, Job said, I will shut my mouth. And I just serve. Sometimes we just need to do that. Just be quiet and serve. I kind of learned that in the military. You just got to be quiet sometimes and just go on. Do what you're going to do. But we need to understand that it's not what do I get out of service, but it's the excitement of being used by God. God is using me. See, that's exciting to me, that God would use somebody. God would look at somebody like me and allow me to serve in his kingdom. That's exciting to me. And I imagine it would be likening it to someone being able to serve on a national level. Someone told me a long, long time ago, as you move up, and I don't care if it's in the corporate world, whether it's in the military or anything, as you move up, your job is to serve those whom you have charge over. Not for them to serve you. Your job is to provide or make the environment conducive for work. That's what God does for us. He creates the environment. You might say, well, Brother Vince, look at this. Look at the world we live in. Look what's going on. No, he really provides the environment for us to serve. He provides us the opportunity. We just have to take hold of the opportunity. You know, because I can, you know, I could be a prayer warrior, really pray for people, volunteering at everything. But if I don't have the right attitude, if I don't understand what I'm doing and what it's for, then I'm going to have a problem. I'm going to have a problem. It's all about understanding the dynamic here that he's trying to get across to us. And so if you go back to Romans chapter 12. In verse number 6, he says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, serving, teaching, exhorting, exhortation. He who gives with liberality, leads with diligence. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever you have, do it. Everybody can't do it. There's a sister we have in the church a few years back. And we were at a mall. We were at the checkout line. And this young lady, she didn't even know. They have a conversation. Young lady, you have any children? Yes, I have children. I have a child. Oh, and she was expecting. Oh, you and your husband expecting? Oh, no, ma'am, I'm not married. Well, baby, one time's a mistake. Two times is a habit. Then I'm standing there. She doesn't know this person. Doesn't know him. But she's talking to her like she was one of her children. Now, everybody can't do that. Everybody can't have a conversation like that with a total stranger. Not everybody can do that. And you probably can't do it either. But those are things that those are God-given talents for service. God equips us to serve. Each and every one of us. We've all been equipped to serve in some capacity. The question still goes back, will I utilize what God has given me? And somebody said, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. True statement. If you don't use it, you will lose it. And so Peter, I think he still didn't realize that he said, you're not going to wash me at all, Lord. You know, and you know, well, Peter, if I don't wash you, you're not going to have any part of me. And he said, well, Lord, just wash all of me. But I don't think we know that Peter didn't. He had no idea what he was really agreeing to. He didn't know. None of them knew. And truth be told, if we were living during that time, we wouldn't have known either. They were looking for something else. They were looking for someone to come in, take them from under that Roman rule, liberate them, like God had always done for them. He had always gotten them out of the messes that they put themselves into. And so they thought that Jesus was going to do that. I don't know what you're talking about, this dying thing, Lord. You have a job to do. We need to be out of these guys from under the thumb of these Romans. That's what you need to do for us. I need you to do that for us. Okay, we're looking for something else. And I believe in the church, sometimes we're looking for something else. We're not looking to serve, but we're looking for something else. We're looking for someone to do something for us. And that's our society today. Our society is totally that way. The folks now, they call a church building. I know it didn't happen here. They call us all the time. Guy called, left a message machine. I hope you call me back. I need a few dollars. I'm thinking to myself, I need a few dollars too. But that's what we had another, I remember another young man, he needed help with his power bill. So we wrote a check out to the power company. And do you not know that he walked in before Bible class, got the check and barely said thank you and walked out. Now we might say, well, that never, no one in the church would do that. Yeah, we have people in church do that. We are a society of consumers. And I dare say a lot of folks in the church are consumers. We will consume time, resources, we'll consume anything and everything that you have. It's almost like, it's almost like if you ever seen ants come in and they devour and you can tell where they've been. You can follow that trail where they, because nothing's there, it's all laid bare. And sometimes it, when you get to the end, you might see some answer, you may not. What I'm saying is, folks will consume all that you have and leave. That's where we're at today. You wonder why attendance is down? Because folks have gotten all that they believe that they can get. Not about service. It's about what I can get. What can I get? When you look at the disciples, they were thinking about what can we get from Jesus? When we think about, when you think about Jesus, and when you think about what he did and all the healing and everything that he did, and then you think about Jesus on the cross and all of those folks saying, crucify him. I would dare say, I can't validate this, I can't verify this in any way, but I would dare say some of the folks that he helped out, they were in the crowd saying, crucify. I dare say. Because he couldn't give them anything else. They had used him all up. We used him all up. Go ahead and crucify him. The crowd mentality. That riot mentality. And so it's all the more important that we understand this concept of service. You want to change your marriage? Serve your spouse. You want to change your friendship? Serve your friends. You want to change your community? Serve your community. You want to change your church, your congregation? Serve the membership. You want to change your relationship with God? Serve the people in the church and the church. You want to see change or change in your life? Serve other people, because you're serving others changes lives, and it will also change yours. The Bible is right when it says it is better to give than receive. I can't get around that. Now, my problem sometimes is that I can't take someone doing something for me. I have a problem with that. Folks want to do something for me, and I kind of pushed that away. And I had to realize, and my wife told me this, you're interrupting, you're messing up someone else's blessing. I changed. Now I had to change. Now, I'm not saying I'm the epitome of a servant. Don't think that. I'm still learning. Still learning how to wash some feet. But the point is that if I want to change some things, I have to allow folks to also bless me. And as they're blessing me, they're blessed. But God changes lives, but he starts with me. He starts with me. Oftentimes, when we're looking around the church and we're trying to wonder why are the pews so empty around? We wonder why our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, nephews, siblings, and we're trying to figure out why are they not as passionate about Jesus as I am? We have to serve God outside of ourselves. We have to get folks engaged in using what they have. We have to be that servant for Christ. We have to, Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve. He could have had everyone else serve him, but he came to serve. When we serve like Jesus served, we become the hands and feet of Christ. We become his likeness to those in need. We allow ourselves to be utilized by them. We become those things. When we need to feed someone that's hungry, we need to clothe someone or house someone or the brokenhearted, the hopeless, everything. That's it. Become a friend to the friendliness. To take on the literal attributes of God. We become, in essence, Christ-like ambassadors for God. And rather than hindering God's work in the world, we become active participants within the kingdom of God. We cannot serve without getting our hands dirty along the way. We're going to have to get dirty. We're going to have to get dirty. We're going to have to roll up our sleeves. We're going to have to take off the ties. We're going to have to get dirty. Jesus knew that he was going to be betrayed. Jesus knew he was going to be disowned. He knew that he was going to be deserted. Jesus knew that he was going to be beat within the inch of his life. Jesus knew that they were going to take him and lay him on a cross and lay him literally on a tree and nails driven into his hands, into his feet. He was going to look out on his creation, and they were going to utter all of these vile things to him. And yet, Father, forgive them. Dying on the cross, dying for his creation. He's allowing, this is God allowing his creation to kill him, to murder him. It is so beyond human imagination to me to think about someone who created someone that will allow that thing to kill him. That it is beyond me. I can't even conceive that. I can't even get past. But yet, he did it. That's what he did. Why? Because he came to serve. That's why he did it. And you say, well, just serve. No, he loved us so much. Well, how can you love the unlovable? He did it. There are some people that won't allow you to love them. You love them anyway. You may not be able to speak with them, but you love them anyway. You pray for them, whatever, but you can still love them. Yeah, I don't prescribe to the thing, well, yeah, I have to love you, but I don't have to like you. No, you got to like me too. You're going to have to love me and like me. Because that's the only way we're getting into the kingdom. You got to love me and like me. Why? Because I'm emulating the service and the life of Christ. And when I do that, what would Jesus do? I mean, it was a nice phrase and everything, and what would Jesus do? People were wearing little things around. And if you're wearing them, I mean, don't stop wearing them. But we keep on wearing them. Keep on wearing them. But what would Jesus do? I think about that often. When someone does something that I know it's something that that they think that's going to harm me or what have you, what would Jesus do in this situation? What would Jesus do? The person that refuses to talk to you on your job, what would Jesus do? That brother and sister or church that doesn't seem to, you can't get along. What would Jesus do? How would he handle this? What would be his attitude? I hear some folks say, well, I'm just not going to deal with him. Well, what if God said that Rich Sutton, man, he's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times he's done this, and I don't think he's getting it. I'm just going to give up on it. Let me just key you on something, right? If God gave up at any time on us, there would be nothing. If God gave up it, and let me take it down a little bit further. If God gave up on us in any second in life, nothing. If he says, I'm done with him, that will be it, because God, Jesus, sustains everything. And so our service is not conditional. If you're good to me, I'm good to you. No, it's not conditional at all. It's you're mean to me, I'm still good to you. You're good to me, I'm good to you. It doesn't matter. That's Jesus. God still loves us. Every night when we lay down, God will wash our dirty feet. Every time we disobey and disappoint God, God will wash our dirty feet. Every time we fall into sin and the Lord does not cut us off, God is washing our dirty feet. Every time we act ugly toward another person, God is washing our dirty feet. Every time we gossip or carry a tale to somebody else, God is washing our dirty feet. Every time we refuse to love, God is washing our dirty feet. Every time we refuse to go, God is washing our feet. He's washing out. He hasn't stopped washing our feet. We may not realize it, but he continues to wash our feet. Well, no, he did it 2,000 years ago. No, yeah, he did it 2,000 years ago. He's still doing it now. He's still washing us. Kind words, or every time we fall short of his glory, God will continue to love us. Because we're his creation. Because of who we are. Not of what we do, but who we are. And as the brother said, he's wanting all of us to make it in. Not some. He wants all of us to. It's already been said, we know that everybody's not going to make it in, but that's what he wants all of us to make it in. He wants none of us to go to a devil's hell. None of us. And we shouldn't want that on anyone. I don't wish that on anyone, to go to a devil's hell. And God certainly does not want that to happen. He wants us. He wants us on that day to hear those words. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Faithful servant. John the Revelator said, be thou faithful unto death. And I will give you what? Crown of life. We all want the crown of life. And as I said this morning, and I'll say it again, we ought not be on the defensive. Everybody that you pass by in this world wants the crown of life. They may not acknowledge it, but that's what they want. Why? Because I believe the Bible is right. God has placed eternity within us. We search for it in a lot of different places, but it's there. We try to gain it in a lot of different ways, but it's there. And so it's up to us to serve mankind with the message of the gospel. That's what we ought to do. That's our job. We're all hired servants. We're all laborers. There are no white-collar workers in the kingdom, in the church. We're all blue-collar. Sorry. Sorry. But we're all blue-collar workers. None of us have the office on the 16th floor with the window view. And no, we're all in the field. That's all. We're all hired hands. And hired hands that work in the field are dirty. because they're working. And I don't have time to say that look over you that you're not working, because if I'm looking at you, then that means I'm not. May God keep and bless us all. I pray that you've gained something from this. I know I have. I appreciate your time with me this afternoon. But go back and look at that again for your own edification. We just talked about a few things, but go back for your own edification. Read that again and look at where it's coupled at. The supper, service, and then Jesus tells them what's going to happen to them, and then he comforts them after that. Go back and look for yourself. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.